Well, good morning again, everybody. We're in a brand new series launching today called The Unshakables, one that I am really excited about over the next few weeks. And honestly, this series is going to lead us all the way up to Easter, right before Easter. And so we're going to prepare, and Easter's not too far away, everybody, mid-April. And so getting excited for what God's going to do with that. But I want to get right into the message here this morning. So inside your worship guide, you can grab your message notes if you already have it. And I just really kind of want to begin with this as we jump into this series of a couple questions just for us to think about and to consider. And that is, what happens and what is our response when we feel like our lives are being shaken or things are being shaken up? And maybe there's even this morning problems and things that you're facing within your life, of maybe some things of uncertainty. You're not quite sure how to navigate through them. But what is your response? Is God your first response when you're going through something, or is he your last resort? And so my prayer is that through this series that we grow in such a place, grow so close to God, that no matter where we're at, that God would be our first response in everything. Amen, everybody? And so that's the hope. And that's the hope really of this series, that God wants to produce within us an unshakable spirit, that no matter what is happening around you or what's happening in your life, that you will not be shaken from who you are and your belief in the Lord. Amen? And so that's the direction we're going. So Luke chapter 6 this morning is where I want to start off, and really one of our theme scriptures for this series. And beginning in verse 46, it says, "Why are you so polite with me, always saying, 'Yes, sir,' and 'That's right, sir,' but never doing a thing I tell you?" Kind of feel that way with my kids sometimes, all right? Don't know about the other parents, but "these words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words, words to build a life on. And if you work the words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who dug deep." Everybody shout, "Dig deep." "And laid the foundation of his house on bedrock." Check this out. "When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it." When the floods came in, nothing could shake it, because it was built to last. Can I just tell you, that's part of God's plan and what he wants for your life and for me, is that our lives would be built to last. That no matter what we face, no matter the problems that are in our way, that God wants to build us to last, that God wants to build an unshakable spirit within us. And it goes on to say, "But if you just use my words in Bible studies and you don't work them into your life, you're like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen river came crashing in, the floods came in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss." How many know, listen, you cannot do this life without Jesus. It's just impossible to live and do this life without Jesus. Amen, everybody? And so as we're looking through this, I want to show you something this morning to really kind of give you a modern-day example of this scripture. So I'd love for the team to throw that picture up for me here. This is just an absolute incredible picture, in my opinion. And I think it's incredible, especially when I tell you the story that's behind this. Now, obviously, you can see how many houses are standing there. Just one, right? And there is absolute total devastation. This was after Hurricane Ike hit on the southeast coast of Texas back in 2008. And during that time on the coast, there was absolute total devastation, and the only house that was left standing was that one. And how many know it looks to be in pretty good shape? And it was. It was in really good shape. And the interesting thing about this story, and I want you to catch this, because I think this is very important. Back in 2005, the story of this is the family who owns this house owned a home previously in the same place, the same lot, but the hurricane that came in 2005 absolutely demolished that previous house they had. And what I think is interesting, and how I think this relates to you and I, and even the scripture that we just read, what's interesting and what's powerful to me is that here they went through a season of a literal hurricane that went through that went through not only their neighborhood, but also it impacted their life and took out their previous home. And instead of doing what everybody else did around them and build their homes and construct it the same way, they learned some things. I think that any time that you and I go through some stuff, any time that you and I face some problems in our life, and it could feel like a hurricane. You may have had a season where it feels like it's an ultimate hurricane that's just hitting your life. But I think what's is important in those times and in those seasons is, what are we learning? And how are we growing and allowing God to help grow us and get us better? Amen? All right, talk to me. I need more than one person. Talk to me a little bit this morning. All right, there we go. All right, I know it's early, but come on. And I'll go quicker, I'm telling you, if you talk to me a little bit, all right? And so here's what I know. What's interesting about this is that not only did they learn, so they made the decision after that first hurricane that they understood that we've got to build differently. And so we've got to build a hurricane-proof house, because if the next storm comes, we don't want the same thing to happen. And so they did. They reconstructed this home to be a home that was more hurricane-proof, and it was the only home that stood. And I just think there's something, again, to be said, that when you go through some things, I think it's so important that we ask the question, man, what am I learning? God, what is it that you're trying to teach me? Because God, again, wants to produce an unshakable spirit in us, that no matter what comes our way, that we are not moved or we will not waver, but we will stay the course of what God has for us. And so that's the heart of God for us. And so my prayer is that we look like that kind of house in Jesus' name. That no matter what's happening, people may be freaking out, but in the midst of it, we can be at perfect peace. Why? Because we know who our God is. Why? Because we know his word has stood the test of time for generations. And so that's the hope. And so I want to read a scripture to you this morning out of Psalm chapter 82. And sometimes when we look at the book of Psalms, we can miss some points. David did a lot of the writing in Psalm, but also so did Moses, so did Solomon. But actually, a lot of people forget that another guy God used to write some Psalms and wrote 12 of them, and his name was Asaph. Asaph, man, was in a place that he was honestly speaking and complaining on God's behalf in this scripture, because of the leaders and the judges in his day were very corrupt. And so the Bible says in verse 1 here that God stands up to open heaven's court. He pronounces judgment on the judges. How long will you judges refuse to listen to the evidence? How long will you shower special favors on the wicked? Give fair judgment to the poor man and the afflicted, the fatherless, the destitute. Rescue the poor and helpless from the grasp of evil men. But you are so foolish and ignorant because you are in darkness. Look at this. All of the foundations of society are being shaken to the core. You know, when I looked at that scripture, I thought, man, that's kind of a little bit of a picture of what we even see today, that things are being shaken to the core. Morals are being shaken, ethical values shaken, economy, different things are being shaken. And so there's a lot of shakiness going on right now. I think sometimes when we see things shaken in our lives, they are the result of it could be a few things. One, it could be the result of your own decisions. But sometimes, how many know you and I, when we make decisions right or wrong, it affects us, right? Amen, everybody? And so that may be one. Another one could be when the effects of the world and what's happening around us takes place. It can affect people and bring some shakiness as well. Here's the other source I know sometimes of when things are being shaken, that the enemy can come in like a flood. But how many know the Word of God says that God will lift up a standard even when the enemy tries to attack? Amen? And so it's understanding that sometimes we go through seasons, and even God, though, even God will allow and use some times of us to be shaken in order to bring us closer to him, and honestly, to really examine where our heart is at or where our heart may not be at with the Lord. And so I want us to look at a few things this morning. And if you're following along in your notes, I want you to write this first point down if you would. And that is, first of all, don't ever be surprised by adversity. Don't ever be in a place that adversity surprises you, because that's part of this, in this journey. We're going to have times of adversity. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 says it this way: dear friends, don't be shocked. Don't be surprised when you suffer through painful tests and trials as if something strange is happening to you. Here's what I know, that shakeups are a part of life. They're a part of life. And here's part of why they're a part of life is because, gang, this isn't heaven. All right, we ain't living in heaven. Amen, everybody? We're not living in heaven. This is a broken world. And the reason why this world is broken is because of the power of sin. So heaven's going to come later on, but this ain't heaven. So don't get frustrated if things aren't going perfect and planned like you were hoping it would be, because on this side of eternity, we're going to go through some things. There's adversity sometimes that we have got to journey with God through. John 16:33, Jesus probably said it best when he said, "In this world, you will experience difficulties, but take heart. I have conquered the world. I've told you this so that in trusting me, you will be unshakable." Everybody shout unshakable. "And deeply at peace." I love that the results of being in a place with God of unshakable is also the result of having peace in your life. I don't know about you, but I thank God for his peace. Because, man, while everything else or others might be freaking out, man, we can be in a place and so close to God that we can be at deep peace. But that is only the result of a close walk with God. And that's why God wants us to be drawn closer and to lean in into our relationship with him. And so Jesus warned us in the scripture. He said, "Hey, gang, there's going to be adversity sometimes." And I think sometimes our typical response when we go through something is we try to blame someone or something. And so to blame is lame, everybody. And so what we have to learn is to just take responsibility enough to just say, "Okay, God, what is it really that you are trying to show me? What is it that you're really trying to teach me? What is it so I can learn and grow from this experience?" Smith Wigglesworth was a healing evangelist that I studied many, many years ago. And he was one that, man, just saw incredible miracles take place and revivals happen. And he made a statement, and I remember studying part of his life many years ago and about his walk with God. And he made a statement that has always just stayed with me. And he said this, that, "I am not moved by what I see. I am not moved by what I feel. I am moved only by what I believe." And I just thought that was powerful because, and honestly, I thought, "Lord, I want to be so close to you that I'm never moved by what's happening to me or around me, but that I'm only moved by what I believe in your word and what your word tells me." Amen, church? So when things are being shaken up or adversity comes with me, here's the second thing is, look for ways that God could use it for good. For good in your life. God wants to use everything that's happening in your life and use it for good. Only God can take the bad and the sin that's in our life and turn it for good. Only God can write the redemptive story of our lives. And so that God can take any situation, any person, and I'm telling you, he can redeem a situation today. That's why I love this promise that we have of God's plan for us in Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "The plans I have for you are plans that are good. The plans that are good, not to harm you. They're plans to give you a hope and to give you a future." Satan's plans have always been the same, to steal from you, kill you, to try to destroy you ultimately and take you out. But God's plans are secure. They're safe. He's a God who loves us, gives us grace, who gives us a hope, and who gives us a future. So what I'm in the place of and what I think is so important is that when things are being shaken up, what is our response? And what do we learn? And what maybe are the things that God may be trying to show me in these times? Maybe you're facing a problem even here this morning. Maybe it feels like a hurricane type of season. I'm just wanting you to know, God is with you. He is present with you. But let's learn together what God may be trying to do to get our attention, all right? Here's what I know about God. Jot a few things down. I got some subpoints to this. And that is, God will shake things up to inspect me. He'll shake some things up in our life. I've realized that God will often use the problems in my life to reveal some things in my life, to reveal the things that are in my heart. Some of the problems in my life, I believe that God uses to reveal maybe wrong motives, attitudes, character flaws that are in us. I don't know if you've ever heard this saying, but they say, but the saying goes, people are like tea bags. You don't know what's in them until you put them in hot water. That's the truth, everybody, isn't it? Preaching truth, right? In other words, God will use problems to show us what is out of whack, what is not in order and in alignment with his word and what he wants. And like I said, it could be a wrong motive, a fear, maybe a lie that you might even be believing. But when your world is shaking and when problems are happening, God does want us to see what's happening in us. I think about the time of back in Genesis, in the time of the Garden of Eden, And this is something that's actually pretty relevant because in our small groups right now, I lead our men's small groups, men's small groups on Tuesday nights. And in the midst of freedom, we've been looking a lot at the of this whole experience of the garden, and it's a powerful one. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, what's interesting is that God, Scripture says that God went looking for them. And he asked the question. He said, Adam, he said, where are you at? And by the way, can I just tell you, some things are moving and thriving and happening in our small groups. I just want to kind of throw that out there real quick just to tell you, man, we're just seeing some incredible things happening. People not only getting discipled, but people getting set free. And it's awesome. Discipleship, that's what's happening through the week. Anyways, all right, back on trail here. All right, but here he was calling out to Adam and saying, where are you? And can I just tell you something about the nature of God? That any time that he asks you a question, he already knows the answer. All right, but oftentimes when he asks you a question, it's not for his benefit, it's for your benefit. All right, so the purpose of the question of asking Adam where he was, I'm gonna reveal it to you in just a moment, but he responded and said, God, I'm afraid, and so that I hid. And I just believe that ever since then, we've been hiding and been afraid ever since. And we don't have to be. But part of the purpose of why God asked that question is so that Adam realized where he was and what was going on in his life. And so remember that about God. When he asks you a question, it's for our benefit. But God will shake things up sometimes to inspect us. I think this verse of Scripture in Jeremiah 17 says it so clear and very powerfully. It says, the Lord searches our hearts. And look at this. He examines our deepest motives so he can give to each person his right reward according to how he has lived. And I want us to just keep this scripture up there for a moment, because if you were here last week, I did an illustration as we ended our marriage series on having a mirror moment. And a mirror moment is not just in the context of marriage, but it's also in the context of just living our life out on a daily basis. And that mirror moment represented an examination with our heart before the Lord, that we all need to have moments to allow God to examine our hearts and our motives. And I just think it's interesting to God that he is so concerned with the condition of our heart. I think it is so interesting to see that it is so important to God that he checks out the motives of our heart. Isn't it interesting? And so why, I just believe, is always more important than what. What I do is there's some importance to it, but God is in a place where it's not nearly as important as why am I doing it? So here's what I know about God. God is always way more interested in our character, in our integrity, than our image. He's way more interested in your character than your comfort. And so God is in a place where I believe character is often revealed under pressure. Character integrity is revealed even in the dark where nobody else is looking. And I just think it's powerful. And character is even revealed when you don't agree with someone and how you respond from that. Mm-hmm. And it may not always be what you say, but it could all be read right here. I remember a season in my life, my pastor checked the fire out of me. Thank you, Jesus, for it too. Because, man, my body language, I was just shutting people down all the time because, just read it right here. And so I just allowed the Holy Spirit to deal with me. And honestly started looking in the mirror when I disagreed with something and how I was looking here. Help me, Holy Spirit. All right, that's another discussion another time, I guess. But nonetheless, it's just being teachable, everybody. Can I just tell you this? Always be in a place that you remain teachable. I think one of the most dangerous places for people to get to is a place where you aren't teachable any longer. It doesn't matter how old you are. I don't care about your education. We're always in a place that we must remain teachable. And the church said a good amen. Amen, everybody. It's so, so critical, so important. The story of the children of Israel, just summarizing a few stories this morning just to kind of give us some examples, that they were in bondage and slavery in Egypt for so long. And finally, God comes on the scene and delivers them out of the hand of bondage and slavery and is headed towards the promised land. Now, the promised land should only take that journey from where they came from Egypt to the promise, should only took them some weeks or maybe a month or so at most. But on the way, there became a struggle because of God trying to get their attention on some areas within their heart. And it's a heart thing. And look at this scripture with me in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. It said that God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. to humble you, to test you, in order to know, look at this, what was in your heart, whether or not you'd keep his commands. Think about this, gang. This is a trip that should have took a few weeks and end up taking 40 years. I think if I were to take a poll, I think all of us would want to say, man, I want the promise of God, whatever that it looks like for my life. I think all of us would be in agreement. But how many would probably also agree that you don't want it to take 40 years if it should take just a few weeks? Come on, somebody, talk to me, amen? And so in other words, God, I want to learn as quickly as I can and embrace whatever season I'm in that you're trying to teach me so I don't have to go around and around to learn the same thing. Because here's what happened for the children of Israel. God gave them 7 tests. And when they failed the test, God said, okay, guys, another lap around. Think about how frustrating that would have been and not being able to get in the promised land that God had because of the unwillingness to be teachable and to learn what it was that God was trying to show them. And so it blows my mind. And here's the sad thing that even took place is that people even died in the desert. But there's some that never got to the promise. Lord, I don't want that being me. Amen, everybody? We want to be a people that says, God, whatever it is, even if it's difficult, that God, I'm going to surrender my rights to you because I want what you want. I don't want what I want. Amen? And so if God takes you, I want to just tell you this. If God takes you through a desert, takes you through a wilderness experience, listen to me, it's for the same purpose. It's for the same purpose. And say, well, man, what's a desert time look like? What's a wilderness season look like? Can I just sum it up real clear? It's a time when you don't feel God. What happens and what's your response like when you don't feel like you're hearing God? It's a reality, gang, that sometimes there's seasons we go through. And I just believe it's a time, I truly believe that God is testing us to say, are you trusting your emotions or are you going to trust me? And so I don't believe you're living by faith until you don't have feelings and you have to depend fully on God. He is testing you because really when what matters in your maturity spiritually is not how loud you can sing during a worship service or how high you jump, but the test is how straight you can walk the rest of the week when you don't feel or feel like you're hearing God. But can I tell you, God's wanting to produce an unshakable spirit inside of us. And that's why when problems come our way, I believe problems are oftentimes an opportunity and a measuring tool to see where we're at. How are our hearts? How are we doing? Because your reaction is key. So let me just kind of end this point very quickly by saying this, asking this question. When things don't go your way, will you still trust God? When things don't happen like you thought and the way you wanted it to happen, will you still trust God? It's a test of the heart. Test of the heart. Here's the next thing I know about God, that God will shake things up to correct me. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 8, it says that God corrects all of his children. And if he doesn't correct you, look at this, then you don't really belong to him. Whoa. God corrects us for our own good because he wants us to be holy. He wants us to be like him. It's never fun to be corrected. Amen, everybody? In fact, at the time, it is always painful, but if we learn to obey by being corrected, we will do right and live at peace. I remember as a kid, listen, I didn't enjoy being corrected. Anybody else with me on that didn't enjoy, you know, back in the day, that's when mama brought the wooden spoon in her purse. Lord, have mercy. Woo, I had the fear of God, trust me and me. Actually, I think that plastic spoon might have had a little bit more behind it because it stung a little bit more. But I'm telling you, it wasn't fun, everybody. But it was important. It was absolutely important. And I look back at it. Trust me, I wasn't thanking God then, but I thank God now. And I learned through that and thanking God for parents who loved me enough to correct me when I was wrong. Hardest thing for Beth and I to do for our kids. I don't like doing it. Don't like it. But I love them enough that I'm going to correct them. Y'all getting this so far? Verse 26 says it this way. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, check this out. This is how cool your God is. His voice literally shook the earth. But now he says, I will not only shake the earth, but the heavens too. And by this means that he will sift out everything without a solid foundation so that only the unshakable things. Everybody shout unshakable. Will be left. And so what's in our heart? And God is saying, I want to sift out the things that are not of me. And I want to put in the things that are of me. I want to build your life in such a way that you'll be unshakable. I want to sift out the things that are keeping you and distracting you from me. And man, I want the things that are going to be in you to be unshakable. So instead of leaning back when those times of correction come, because it doesn't feel good, Scripture says that, we know that. But instead of leaning back or taking a step back, man, we got to lean in. We've got to lean into exactly whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us. Job said it this way, chapter 5, verse 17. He said, to consider yourself fortunate when God all-powerful chooses to correct you. In other words, he's saying it's an honor when you're corrected, because why? God, who he corrects is who he loves. If we're parents and we love our kids, we're going to correct them. Don't shout me down, all right? And so here's what happens oftentimes, is that we only change, and usually the change of our life, when we make decisions in our life, oftentimes we only change when the fear of change is exceeded by pain. And here's, in other words, when the pain gets bad enough, then I'll change. Yeah, when it gets bad enough, then I'll make some course direction, and then but it's not bad enough. But can I just tell you, don't wait for a tragedy to have to turn your life around. Don't wait for something like that to happen when God is trying to get our attention right now. Amen, everybody? And be willing to be submissive to what God is saying. Several months ago, Bethany was she was cooking in the kitchen, and of course she warned the kids to, hey, be careful around the stove, I'm cooking. And so my two-year-old, who thinks he's the Incredible Hulk, it wasn't seconds later. And all of a sudden, I was sitting at the end of the table, and man, he put that little paw, his little paw, his little hand right up there, just freaked out on us, and crying and tears and everything. Of course, we picked him right up and said, son, Mom just told you, don't touch the stove, it's hot, you know? And so he learned a lesson from that, all right, from that. And so the question is, though, God, what are you trying to teach me? What should I be learning in the midst of these problems, in the midst of what I'm facing? I know this, that God shakes things up in our life to also direct us and to redirect us. Proverbs 16:9 says this, a person may plan his own journey, but it's the Lord who directs his steps. God may be redirecting you. He inspects you, he corrects you, then he directs you. And oftentimes we don't change when we see the light. We'll change when we feel the heat, though. I'm just encouraging you, don't do it. Don't wait for that moment to have to happen when God's trying to get your attention right now. Proverbs 20:30 says that sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. I think there's many of us that have, man, we've been through painful situations, different testimonies I'm sure that we could tell in this room right now, and how some of those things that we went through that God did use, though, to help us to learn from that, much like even we saw with the picture a little bit earlier, that we learn and that we grow from that. Aristotle said this, that you cannot learn without pain. It's just kind of a part of what we go through in life, in this journey, sometimes when things are being shaken. Psalm 119 says, I love this verse. I told First Service this morning, we throw that verse up there, I told them, this is a verse, I sometimes when I'm praying and when I'm studying, I'll have a verse that I don't really read anything else but the verse sometimes for a few days. And this was one that I just thought was so good. And this is, I've thought about my life, I'm thinking about how my life's going, thinking about everything that's happening. And I've decided, though, that I'm going to direct my feet back to your written instructions. I don't know where somebody's at today, but maybe you're in a place that you've been thinking about your life. And I'm just here to let you know that, man, God is wanting you to come back to him today. That maybe it's a decision for us to bring our steps, bring our feet back, and living our lives according to the standard of God, and stepping back into, most of all, a relationship with Jesus. Gang, this is always and will forever be about a relationship with Jesus, this journey. Not about religion or anything else. It's always about a relationship with him. And so I want to encourage you so much with that. So what problem may be going on within my life that I need to get honest about, and that I need to surrender that back to God? Here's the other thing I know, that God will shake things up to protect me. God will shake things up, and he will do things to protect. And sometimes he'll shake things up and use your current pain to protect you from something bigger. You know, I was thinking this week about a friend of mine, a businessman, a few years back, and he was very successful in the place that he was at until a day of decision really came for him. And so he was thriving, doing well. He was looked up to at work. And they gave him a project that was a project that he didn't unknowingly went into that was going to then require him to make some unethical decisions. And so he gets into this project, gets going, when he finds out, I'm going to have to do some things that are unethical. I'm going to have to do some things that I normally wouldn't want to do. And so here he is in this place, and he's saying, I'm just trying to figure this out. How is this going to happen? And so he gets back to the place of the president and before the board, and he gets to a place where he says, he gets to them and he says, what you're asking me to do, I cannot do. And here's why I cannot do it: because of the unethical things that are happening right now. It's just in a place that I'm not going to be able to make happen, because it goes against the very core and the very essence of my belief and what's happening in me. And so he was before the board and the president, and they looked at him and they said, consider today your resignation. You're done. He said to me, he says, the hardest decision, easiest decision of my life. Hardest because I'm a provider for my family and I've lost it all. Easiest decision, he said, because I knew what I stood for. And in the midst of it, he went a few months later, and in that time, a few months not having work, and he was scared. How many know his life was being shaken? Amen. His life was in a place of being shaken, but he trusted God, and God ends up providing him a better job, a better situation, a more flexible schedule, and took care of him a few months in. God will do that. Sometimes the detours in our life are often God's destinations. And when you stand for God, God will stand for you. Amen, church? Job 36:16 says, God's led you away from danger, giving you freedom. Giving you freedom. Problems are a preparation for success. Genesis, such a powerful moment for Joseph. He's in a place where he was sold in slavery, wrongfully accused, thrown in prison. His brothers tried to kill him, tried to take him out. And he responds by saying, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. They went through a time of famine, and God used him to save his own family. I was thinking this week, just like a time when we go through surgery at an appointment or at the hospital, we go through a surgery, just like a surgeon will have to cut you to heal you, sometimes God has to break us to save us. And sometimes the disappointments in our life are really God's appointments. Here's the last part, and that is that God shakes things up to perfect me. To make us, here's what that means, to make us more like Jesus. I've found that growth oftentimes takes place in some of the darkest times of our life, and that pain is the high cost of growing. And so we're in a kind of a society that wants the product without the process. And that's not how it works, that God takes us through a journey. And so the very things I know that may be discouraging me may be the very things that God may try to develop in me so that we can be unshakable. Amen? And so it's not all about just going through stuff. And I know that sometimes, man, we go through, we don't want to talk about problems and things that we face, but it is a reality for all of us. Amen, everybody? And 1 Peter, I want to give you some encouragement here because this is important. 5:10, after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who calls you to share his eternal glory and union with Christ will himself protect you and give you firmness, strength, and a sure foundation. Romans 5 says, we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient. Patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more each time we use it. And then here's the last one this morning, and that is this, that trust God today for whatever it is that you don't understand. Trust him. Trust him even when it doesn't make sense, that you say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to move from this. You alone are God. I love this scripture in Proverbs 3, my last scripture, and then we're going to pray. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Don't depend on your understanding, but honor the Lord in everything you do, and he will give you success in your life. As I was just praying just over this moment, because I know this is a reality for every single one of us. I know that we're facing things, and if we're not facing something now, we're going to face something at some point. But just make the decision, and this has just really just been my prayer over all of us. that God, may the course of our life always be guided by your hand and not ours. That we pursue you, that we love you in the good times, come on, but even in the tough times, that you still remain Lord of all. I'm just telling you this morning, church, lean into what God wants to say. Lean into your relationship with him. Would you bow your head? I want to pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your presence that's in this place. I thank you, God, for your word. God, that you desire to produce an unshakable spirit within us. And so, Father, this morning I'm asking for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to touch our hearts. God, some of us are going through maybe some of the toughest seasons of our life. God, we're facing things that seem insurmountable, but God, your faithfulness always remains true. You are a good God. And so even in the midst of these times, God, may our faith be sure. And the things that need to come out that are in us, that may be keeping us from us, God, sift those things out. So that, God, that we can grow more in love with who you are. So, Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the power of your presence. And so if you would just keep your head bowed this morning, I want to give you an opportunity today. Maybe you're in that place, that scripture that we talked about earlier that talked about getting your feet back into the instructions of God. Man, I want to encourage you right now, if that's you, to give your life wholly and completely right back to God. Maybe it's making a decision, recommitting your heart. I want to encourage you right here in this moment, dude. We're all going to pray in just a moment. But if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity just to raise your hand here in just a second and say, man, that's me. That's me. And maybe you're new at discovering who God is, or maybe this is a recommitment. And jumping back into your relationship with God. Maybe for whatever reason, maybe you just got off course and today you realize, I need God in my life. Lord, I need to give my life to you. If that's you, in just a moment, on the count of three, I just want you to slip your hand up and you can put it right back down all over this place. Come on, with every head bowed. 1, 2, 3. Come on, awesome. Yeah, gotcha. Praise God. Gotcha, yes, ma'am. Awesome. Awesome. Proud of you all. Now I want us to pray. Let's pray this prayer together. Mean it from your heart today. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my past. Make me brand new. Fill me with your spirit that I will know you more and serve you all the days of my life. My life is not my own. I belong to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can we put our hands together this morning for all that God has done? Amen. Yeah.